Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Guess what, everybody?
What?
We're doing a Mission Impossible trilogy. The first three...
Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
A Cruiserpalooza? A Mopothapalooza?
Real name.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise's brother is in one of these.
I know.
The second one. But that's not this week.
It's not this one.
That's next week.
Yeah.
Because we are, of course, talking about Mission Impossible from 1996.
Oh, my God. The ancient history.
Absolutely.
This franchise has been going for 24 years then.
And that's just these ones, not the show that started
oh my God,
as well.
Yeah.
It's been around forever.
Since the Cretaceous era.
That's it. Just dinosaurs pulling off, I don't know. It's a, you think it's a herbivore, but it's an omnivore.
It's a car, yeah. That's what a twist.
Anyway, leave a like. Should we talk about how it got started?
Please.
Because, of course, we had the original series in the 60s.
Yes.
There was a revamp in the 80s, which we've actually looked at. We did a video on it.
Which I learned this week was originally intended to just be like episode by episode remakes of the original
okay.
with a new cast.
Great.
Because it was cheaper and there was a writer's strike.
Oh,
but
okay.
Then they recovered and it became fine.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
And I guess Cruise was a fan of the Mission Impossible
TV
shows.
Well, he was because this is the first movie that he ever produced. Oh, he was a big fan of it as a kid. He had massive creative control. He upped the budget. Originally, it was $40 million and he asked for $80 and he got it because we're in the midst of the start of a Cruiserpalooza.
The Mopothapalooza, thank you.
Yes. But it's such a...
The Mopothaspot of bother.
But it's such a... It's old. And I don't mean that in a bad way,
right.
But I mean in the sense that like the first Fast and Furious movie, mm-hmm. it's so removed from what it is now.
Yeah.
And charting the evolution over these three first movies in particular, it's fascinating.
And what's fascinating to me as well is that when I watched these movies at the cinema at the time, I was just like, oh, movie's a movie. You see it and you have a bit of fun at the cinema. But as I've learned about and seen more of the each filmmaker's work, like apart from the Mission Impossible franchise, I'm like this one was directed by Brian De Palma.
Yeah.
Who is
fascinating choice.
Right? Yeah. But he's a filmmaker who's all about like voyeurism and like paranoia and weird camera angles. And as I watched going back into this, knowing about that, I'm like, boy, this is a really Brian De Palma kind of film.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's a whole bunch of scenes where, like, conversations are just, like, just bug-eyed, paranoid people shouting at each other in one shot.
Dripping sweat, staring intensely at each other. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is one of my favorites because of the reason that you mentioned in all of those things that you said. This is the only one with really intense paranoia.
Uh-huh.
And now the other ones have shades of it because who's who? Who's Richard Roxburgh? It's Tom Cruise or whatever.
But if by like six, everybody's settled into it and you're like, hey, you're probably a guy in a mask and you're probably a guy in the mask. Who cares at this point?
Yeah.
But in this, like Ethan Hunt, Tom Cruise's character, he's kind of a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, he's been through some missions, but he's still, people on this team are still amazed when you can put an earpiece in your ear and
oh
you can
goodness.
Hear somebody else's conversations or you can wear a mask and you look exactly like somebody else.
Do you want to talk about the masks?
Yes.
Because you've got your standard...
Somebody stop me.
Very good.
Thank you.
Because some of it's just prosthetics, you know?
I mean,
He's a senator, but both of the actors are clearly Tom Cruise.
It's very fortunate that a lot of people he doubles in the first half of this movie are just people who look a lot like him, but wrinklier.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. But then you've got, and the one in particular I'm referring to, the John Voight reveal. Spoilers, by the way. We're doing.
If you haven't
spoilers.
Seen this movie from 1996, yeah. go back and watch it. It's free in a lot of streaming yeah. platforms, so go nuts.
It's about a spy list gets stolen. That's the Mission Impossible, the knock list. And Tom Cruise, he's got framed and he's got to get it back. There you go. You caught up. But in the later movies, and they emphasize this more in the next one, you can move your face around in it. It fits to you perfectly. They're indistinguishable from any other real person. It alters your voice. But in this one, I like the idea that just put it on and sit real still.
Yeah, right.
Don't move a muscle. Have very particular lighting.
If you can sit in some shadows
yeah.
and look concerned, because that's how your face is going to look, concerned and a little bit kind of just non-reacting.
Exactly. You know? So you mentioned this before the show, but the name of the guy who created the masks, Rob Bottin.
That's right, yes.
Famous special effects artist who worked on like The Thing and The Howling and other things that you told me just
he worked
the show.
On the very iconic... 2 weeks lady from Total Recall where a face opens up and a arm towards an
yep. That's amazing to me, that practical effect. Because now they wouldn't do it like that. They'd use a different method.
It is a different...
And it wouldn't look as good, maybe.
No!
But I still think there's some digital trickery in that shot. I know that it's practical elements, but when he does pull it off, it seems like there's a digital smear in it. And I might be wrong, but I couldn't find anything definitive that proved that.
Because I think at the time, maybe, and again, you know, Tom Cruise still a big star, you know, Mission Impossible, a concept that people are aware of.
Sure.
But I don't think we're in the era where people are like, this is going to be iconic and this is going to be his defining franchise. So we'd better do a whole bunch of behind the scenes stuff. They're just like, yeah, it's a movie, we'll make the movie.
Tom Cruise, he did Far and Away, he did Days of Thunder, he did this. These are the three movies that he's done.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, here's a picture of his filmography, because people will be like, I can't believe you didn't mention his
all of
they're
them.
All
There's
there.
All of them,
There's all of them. Pick your favorite and shut your fucking mouth.
We do know he's the movie executive in Tropic Thunder. We're aware of it.
We know.
Yeah, he did a little dance.
Yeah, that's right. So also, I wanted to mention up top, but I'm mentioning it now, because we're still up top, it doesn't matter. We're doing it. That I'm going to try and replicate something from each of these movies every week, right? And
so this week is, James, you're going to get your face impaled on an elevator shaft. Is that what you're going to do?
That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, what I'm going to do, I'm going to try out the disc trick.
Okay, all right.
Huge shout out to Silent Magic, who told me how to make this happen. I'll save it to the end, though. Did I pull it off? Probably not, but we'll come along for the ride,
you're
all right?
You're going to give it a crack, though, aren't you?
You better believe it, yeah. Apparently a real trick, apparently. I have my doubts, but again, there's barely any behind-the-scenes footage of this.
I mean, it certainly tricked Jean Reno, didn't it?
Certainly did.
Sneaky, sneaky Jean Reno.
What do you think about the cast of this?
I like it.
And yeah.
I think, as I understand it, I think it upset some hardcore Mission Impossible fans at the time
including,
for a number of reasons.
Including the people from the original series as well.
Who were not asked to be in this.
Well, some were. Mm. Like Peter Graves was asked to come back.
As Jim Phelps.
Yes, but he was like, I'm not evil. I'm an actor.
He was upset that that Jim Phelps' character was going to take an evil turn. You know, he was tired of saving the world but never getting any recognition for it, so he decides to turn bad and take the money and run.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I think
he was tired of sitting still for that mask mold for Tom Cruise to wear.
Exactly. I think people were probably also upset that this is a movie in which a lot of the IM team did die in the first act because, you know, traditionally everybody gets out alive in the Mission Impossible movies.
I love that fake out. And there's some names in it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people are like, Emilio Estevez, where's he been? He was huge.
Yeah,
he was a massive star.
Exactly. This is, you're like, well, of course he's going to live because he's, you know.
Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks.
Here's a list of his films.
He's a lovable character. He had an incredible catchphrase that I'm going to attempt to bring back in future. Hasta lasagna. Don't get any on ya. Loved it.
Doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I think that's a great introduction. And look, I don't even remember the first time that I saw this movie, but it's still kind of shocking that that's the way that they open things up, you know? So stunts as well are a big part of this movie, less so than the later ones. They're way more toned down than him throwing himself off.
Everything. Everything and anything.
You pick a thing.
A lot of the later movies are just him throwing himself off stuff, and then they just try and patch the movie together based on that.
Pretty much, yeah. So a couple of the big stunts from this, though, is the water stunt, which kind of looks tame in comparison, but that's tons and tons of water. Like, if you went down, it could kill you, sheer force alone.
One stuntman does cop it right in the face. I don't know if you're having rewatched that
I didn't
scene.
See that, no. Was that, so is that, is he there when the glass breaks and it just
kind
of, oh, beautiful stuff, yeah. But I guess the thing that this movie is known for, and it's often parodied, probably in a Leslie Nielsen movie
because
from the
it's 90s. Iconic.
Yeah.
Probably at an MTV Movie Awards.
No doubt.
Mm.
I'm talking about the movie Spy Hard Mason, probably. It's probably that. But it's the heist. Where
the Langley heist, yeah.
And what's interesting about that heist to me is most of it's just in that room. Yes. I mean, we see them getting in and fire trucks and whatever, but it's pretty much him dangling from wires with coins in his shoes to keep the balance. That's what they did. And it's just incredibly suspenseful. They've attempted to replicate it in future movies, which we will talk about.
Yeah.
But there is something about the tension in this scene,
yeah,
which just still works so well.
It's the sweat, I'm telling you. It's the signature De Palma sweat.
Yeah, it is. It's the big boxy computer,
yep,
as big as a house.
That's right.
That's got a chair that slides out from underneath it.
It's the 230 megabyte diskette upon which the knock list is copied onto. I have a note here.
Yeah.
There's a scene later on in the movie where they're all ensconced upon the train where the finale takes place.
Yes.
And they have to stop the bad guys before the data is transferred.
Mm.
And
foreign concept, right? At the time. Yeah.
In the movie, it takes the transfer of data from Max, the crime lord, intelligence, espionage, arms dealer, etc.
Yeah.
Begins at let's see. It begins at 1 hour and 32 minutes.
I love hard numbers.
And the transfer is lost at 1 hour and 40 minutes. So so 8 minutes.
You could just ring somebody and read out the list. It would be quicker. Right.
But I'm like, imagine these days attempting to build a tense scene while 230 megabytes of data is transferred. You'd be like, it seems you're caught in my trap and, oh, it's been transferred. Never mind.
Don't even worry about it. That's great.
Side note, just speaking of the Langley heist scene.
Yes.
The face Tom Cruise makes when he's dropped from the ceiling and nearly hits the floor. It's just what a face. Just go back and watch it if you haven't.
What is it, an intensity? Is it scared? What is it?
It's every emotion all put together, yeah.
That's Tom Cruise, isn't it? Just every emotion.
It's a little bit of scared, it's a little bit tense, it's a little bit, I love this job. You know what I mean?
Hasta lasagna.
That's right.
And all that. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah. And I know you could look at this heist scene.
Yes.
And I'm sure I've made these arguments before, like, why not have a camera in the room? Why not have a guard that's watching the entire time?
Why does the computer work when there's nobody supposedly in the room?
Exactly.
If I was the guy who worked in that room, I would look up at the ceiling every goddamn day. As soon as I came out, I'd be like, look at this big, tall ceiling I've got for some reason.
You'd look.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business gets to a certain size, and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day are now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away, and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions as quickly as possible, so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off, whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***, or sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Have you ever been in a situation where you need to search something on the internet, but it's kind of embarrassing and you don't want people to ever find out what you're searching for? It might be like a medical thing or a personal thing or whatever. I don't know what you're up to. I don't know what you're up to. And you might be thinking to yourself, look, I can just go into incognito mode. But let me tell you something. Incognito mode does not hide your activity. It doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browser history, your internet service provider can see every single website you've ever visited. That's why. Even when I'm at home, I never go online without ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Now, most of the time, I don't even realize I have ExpressVPN on because it runs seamlessly in the background and it's so easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're protected. ExpressVPN is also available on all your devices. We're talking phones, computers, even your smart TV. So there's no excuse for you to not be using it. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by CNET and Mashable. Visit our exclusive link, expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet, and get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet. expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet to learn more.
Down at the floor, up at the ceiling, because either way it's reflective, you'd see what's going on. Yeah,
right.
You're right. I mean, you could put a big, heavy wooden door in front of the computer, whatever. But it's at the same time, whatever measures were put in place, you can write around that. So if there was a camera, he'd block the camera. If there was a guard, sure, he'd swap him out or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, the necessary elements of a heist sequence or a heist movie is you spell out the obstacles and then the characters build big plans to counter the obstacles.
Yes.
And then stuff gets in the way, like a rat or a knife.
Or a Frenchman.
Frenchman.
Oh, he had that knife the whole time. It was
Sacre
him.
Blue.
Where do you think he gets his knives? They must be new because he can't hold on to them for shit.
Probably like Le Creuset, you know, that place where you get the fancy...
That's entirely
like
possible.
Like kitchen accessories.
Oh, right. They got one of those... Do you remember those big... This won't stay in. Do you remember those big Swiss Army watches that were in like storefront windows and they'd open and close? Remember
those?
Yeah. Fascinating stuff, Mason. I always wanted one. To what end?
You can probably get one. Let's look it up later.
Killer big man. Anyway, I love the train chase though. And I feel like the train chase is one of those things they definitely would have done practical now. Because this was a skydiving machine, like tilted sideways to get like the rushing air effect.
Oh, I see.
At Tom Cruise's request, because he was like, I've already done skydiving and this is what I'm going to do.
Ha ha!
Yeah. And there's a bit of like green screen, blue screen jankiness to it.
Yeah, especially when Voight and Cruise leap onto the helicopter struts and they're kind of they're struggling through the helicopter in the tunnel and all that sort of stuff. It's like, well, that's very obviously took place on a soundstage.
But, you know, it's a real jump. You know what I mean? Right? Uh-huh. It's just in front of a green screen or blue screen. Again, I think it's blue screen. I found some images. But I think it still works. And I think for the most part it holds up. And even though it is like a CGI helicopter bobbing and weaving, I still think it's great. I still think it's an absolutely bloody cracking conclusion to the movie. And I love that John Voight gets mashed like the rotten potato that he is. Just crunch.
I had a thought, actually. Of the characters that died in this movie, who do you think is ripe for a return?
Well, we know one of them is returning who didn't die.
Kittredge?
Yeah,
Kittredge
is coming back.
7 and 8, apparently.
That's crazy, right?
Right? But I reckon bring back Estevez.
He's got an eye patch.
Or an enormous whistly hole through his entire head, sure. But we just saw the back of John Voight disintegrate, so maybe the front half of him's still alive.
He's like 80 and insane, though,
isn't
he?
What about Emmanuelle Bert? Maybe she could
come
back.
Yeah, good choices
she
all around.
She got shot, maybe she's made a quick escape at the end.
You're right, there's a few of them you could definitely bring back, and maybe they will at some point.
Hannah, the drunk on the stairs, bring her back.
These are wonderful choices that you've made.
I mean, she blew up.
Yeah, but masks, whatever.
Yeah, probably masks, yeah.
It was a Hannah mask.
And that's, you're right. I mean, there's, you know, nobody's off limits at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what this does, right, and I know that it's, you know, people who are fans of the original series didn't love it at the time, and it wasn't massively reviewed well. It was like, this is good enough. I think it's clearly stood the test of time over the decades that it's been around.
I think so, more than some of the others, one of the others, the next one.
Yeah, that's right. But I think it does get the core of the original show right. It just kills more people.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. It does your mask and your gadgets and your Mr. X and your fake rooms and whatever. Yeah. It does all of that.
And I think say what you will about this one or the subsequent ones, the next one. What I think these movies are good at is kind of like getting a director in and just showcasing what they're good at.
Yes.
And going like, Tom Cruise, I think, has gone, I want to make some spy movies.
Yeah.
And here's some directors that I love. What's your best take on a spy movie? And I think all of them have sort of nailed that in their own way.
I completely agree. Mm. Now, look, I'd like to also wrap up each of these episodes that we're doing, talking about the evolution of Ethan Hunt's hair in relation to the character itself.
Okay, well, before we do that, I would just like to talk about maybe something that I remembered from this movie, but it didn't really, the depth of it didn't hit me until I rewatched it. It's what people thought the internet was in 1996. Because in this movie, the only thing I think that doesn't hold up, the stunts are still incredible, and the tension, you know, is you can feel, it's palpable tension you can feel in all these scenes. But there is a scene in this movie where Tom Cruise, Ethan Hunt, needs to do some internet sleuthing, and so he goes on Usenet. And
was that a thing?
Yeah, Usenet's a thing.
Okay.
But it's at the point where the internet wasn't really available for everybody.
No.
Not everybody had it in their homes, in their phones, in the tablets, in their cars, in their fridges. And so
somebody's friend's dad might have had a computer from work that had it.
Exactly. And so basically, like, Brian De Palma was basing what the internet was and what his friend's dad had at his work, because, like, and it was just kind of like, what do people think the internet, and you couldn't look it up on the internet, what the internet was like.
You had to
like,
open a book.
Right? So it was just sort of some guesses. So like, at this point, you think about the internet, like, why not a constantly repeating beep from your search engine when there's no results from it, you know? That wouldn't get annoying. Imagine in 2020, every time you got a new message or alert, it was just a constantly repeating endless beep until you access every email, just a cacophony of beeps.
I get 10 emails in a minute.
At one point, Ethan guesses, like, it's just a series of guesses. He guesses that the terrorist arms dealer espionage king/queen, Max, might be found at max.com. And I looked it up just to see what it would be. And max.com, you can discover the life-changing benefits of glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Max's patent science and supplements support the natural production of glutathione and a healthier lifestyle.
Seems like a poison thing that they're selling people.
Who's to say?
Is that incorrect?
But I've written all in caps, the Book of Job discussion group, where you go and in a variety of different languages, you can send messages to people about various chapters and verses of the Book of Job. And I've written here, sending a random message to a Max who may or may not exist on a Bible discussion group might be the biggest, pardon the pun, Hail Mary long shot I've ever seen in a movie. So everything else in this movie holds up. This, ridiculous.
But you got to also remember, the people using the internet were five dads of friends of someone you knew from school.
Yeah.
And Max. So
that's
true. You're sending out six emails, aren't you?
That's true.
And the reason it's taking so long is because he's waiting for the data to transfer.
And Max is probably like, ooh, an email. I don't get a lot of those.
beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Fascinating stuff.
Let's talk about that. Let's go back to hair. Hair is important.
Okay, so I think you could chart the evolution of the Ethan Hunt character from his hair. And in this particular movie, he's only a few months into the IMF field.
Yes.
Because he was an army recruit.
Right.
That's how he spent his time. I think that's why his hair is that way. Mm. That's why he's locked into it. Yeah, he's got a haircut that you can kind of set your watch by.
That's right.
Like a traditional army guy. And you watch that kind of disappear as the movies go on. Like he's very by the book, by the rules. He feels like he's hard done by and he's been betrayed, which he often is. Mm-hmm. But also, he doesn't really seem to care that much about other people in this movie compared to what he does later. This is more of a self-serving, self-preservation Ethan Hunt than what we get later.
Yeah. I mean, in this movie, he just lets John Voight just tumble over the side of a bridge. He doesn't dive in after him. Did you notice? In the future versions would absolutely just leap in there, you know?
He'd fly a helicopter down and pick him up with one muscular arm.
That's right.
But there's no real gunfights in this.
There are two bullets fired in this entire movie, which is wild.
Crazy. He gets beat up by 60-year-old John Voight.
Yes.
And then, you know, in the more recent movies, it's him and Henry Cavill just beating the shit out of a bathroom. You know what I mean? Like bare-fisted. And here he's getting like 58-year-old John Voight is besting Tom Cruise.
Right.
You know? I just think it's fascinating that you watch all the tricks and things that he absorbs over the decades. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So, look, I think the hair, and I know it's probably a bit of a long shot, the hair of Tom Cruise tells a story in these movies.
Yep.
In particular in the next one.
Yeah. And look, special shout out again. I'll give you a little time code. 1 hour and 39 minutes. Ethan Hunt on the top of the train gives us some wicked Beatlemania hair. Just go back and watch it. You'll definitely appreciate it. Just a couple of little pieces of trivia. Just from the opening sequence.
Trivia, it's trivia. Our trivia segment, trivia, it's trivia.
Thank you. Based on the little info cards we get on each of the Mission Impossible, the IMF force members, Ethan Hunt's UC alias, whatever that is Philippe Douchette.
What?
He's the littlest douche. I don't know what it means. Is that a little production in joke there?
That's,
I don't know.
You might be right. Tom Cruise, maybe he was like, this is a good joke on myself.
maybe.
I've got a good sense of humour.
And something I'd forgotten, his mother's name is Margaret Ethan Hunt.
Oh, yeah, and we see the parents in this.
Yep. Where do they go in the remaining movies?
They get arrested and then he grew up on a farm or something. They live on a farm. Yeah. Great stuff.
It is the best.
This holds up, man.
Absolutely.
It's a good movie.
It does, yeah.
Internet aside, but that's still that's still a curiosity to me. I'm not turning off because of the internet.
No, that's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway,
just pretend he's looking through microfilm or something. It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Don't even worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, here's me trying to replicate that thing.
Oh my God, you did it.
I did.
Second take. I can't believe you didn't do it, James, you loser.
All right, next week, of course, we are coming back for MI2.
That's right.
It's
a real shift in tone.
I thought you were going to say another SH word. But yeah, it's something else. We'd love you to swing by. But look, if you love these videos, which some do and don't, depending on how they interpret the title, it's whatever at this point, by the way. But you can actually get them early at bigsandwich.co. Sign up. It's $9 a month. If you want to, you know, it could be hard up for a buck. That's absolutely fine. We also do a bonus podcast.
Movie commentaries,
ad-free feed, bunch of stuff going on there that you can check out.
Ah, it's so delightful over there.
That's right.
It's loose as a goose.
Loose as a bloody goose, mate.
But it's a very firm release schedule of content.
It actually is, yeah. We're not dicking around on that, are we?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, we are, but, you know, the content comes out of the time it should.
That's right.
Anyways, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I hope everybody has a great Mission Impossible in life, surviving all the terrible things that are happening.
Me too.
That's the real Mission Impossible, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And this movie.
As I always say, hasta lasagna. Don't get any on you, folks.
The virus?
Yeah,
good, good. Makes sense. Yeah, makes sense. Okay, goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.